All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, welcome to the Renegade HPG podcast. This is Travis Gardner, and my guest today is a fan favorite artist in the BattleTech community whose official and unofficial work can be found on both DeviantArt and Patreon under the tag Spooky777. Florian Mellies joins me from Germany this morning / his afternoon to talk about all things BattleTech, including his work in bringing that universe to life for its fans. Florian, thank you for taking the time to talk this morning.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Definitely. So one of my kind of first questions is kind of coming from your home there in Germany and kind of, you know, learning a little bit about kind of the BattleTech community there and how it might be, different or similar to one here in the U.S. I know in the U.S. it's kind of like a, you know, I don't know if fringe is the right word, but it's definitely kind of up and coming. You know, it's always been there. It's survived, you know, through the years, but it's definitely resurging thanks to the Kickstarter. You know, I'm curious, you know, in terms of in Germany, you know, is it a little bit more prominent? Kind of does it carry the same character over there? And you know, how do you stay involved?
That's a good question. I think it was always there, but it's niche. Warhammer, for comparison, is way more popular.
Yeah. And how did you first connect with it? Did you connect through tabletop or the novels or video games? I know everybody kind of has a different way of finding BattleTech.
I did some research. I always thought my first contact was the tabletop. But I remembered in 95, around 95, I played the SNES game, MechWarrior 3050 or something like that. And that must have been, my first contact. And then a year later, I played the tabletop.
I remember I never connected with the SNES game, but played lots of the Sega Genesis, you know, version back in the day. So
and the
novels I think were my primary, you know, before the MechWarrior 2 came out, and then I played a lot of that. So kind of, you know, when did you kind of start drawing big giant robots, you know, and how does that kind of, you know, taken over, you know, in terms of career?
I always liked sci-fi stuff. From very young age. Really, the art approach that came way later. I studied communication design, and after art school, I just looked for franchises I can do stuff for from a fan art perspective, just to get some, you know, what's it called?
Variance.
Exposure.
Gotcha.
And I dig through stuff I'm interested in, and BattleTech came up, and I thought, okay, there's a lot of 80s art in there, so they might use some new artists. I stayed and I'm official.
Do you remember what your first kind of BattleTech piece is, you know, that's out there? You know, what's the earliest one that you shared with the community?
That was, it's a long time ago. I scroll down here. It must have been a very small artwork depicting, there it is. Critical Hit, it's called. It's in my DeviantArt portfolio.
Yeah. I'll pull it up here so people can check it out.
Yeah. It's very basic. I just found some 3D models for a catapult and not the Mad Cat. What's the other one? The Vulture. Yeah, and I used them. My whole process was born there, basically. You know, taking 3D stuff and using them as reference, painting over, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of that process, kind of, you know, so, you know, the 3D modeling is coming from other people and you're kind of plugging them in, you know, what kind of software suites are you using? You know, what's kind of, you know, what kind of gets you to that end product? Is it a combination or is there just something that you prefer to work in?
Photoshop for illustration stuff. Mm-hmm. And I used Blender for 3D. I used Cinema 4D for 3D. The 3D part is, you know, you could basically work with every app out there, you know. Like, yeah.
And then, you know, do you have any projects that, you know, really stand out to you as kind of favorites or maybe some good stories about, you know, just kind of, you know, the process and getting those out there and sharing them with the community?
I really enjoyed the work on map assets.
Okay.
You know, the buildings and stuff. Some stuff is out there. And the most spectacular stuff is coming. I can't talk about that, unfortunately. And there's a huge painting I just finished. Yeah, that will pop up soon, I guess.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, when I know you're working officially with Catalyst now, you know, in addition to kind of your fan work, when did that kind of connection come about? You know, had you been doing a little bit of stuff for them all along, or did it just kind of really dive in recently?
I started with CGL in 2015.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years now.
And when did you first start publishing the fan work? Because I think the earliest one I saw was maybe 2012. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Must have been true. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of in the resurgence, you know, of BattleTech, and I know I was reading, you know, the Legends source book last night, and I think you did a lot of the skins on the BattleMechs on that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Excellent. And so, you know, there, you know, what if, you know, have you kind of had to, you know, and working in the official capacity, has there been any notable evolution in terms of your approach or kind of how you're envisioning things to align with kind of that official vision? Or, you know, was it kind of a nice smooth transition to step from the fan work to that official capacity?
Pretty smooth. I mean, there are always some details you have to, adapt, basically. To keep the whole thing, keep the continuity, basically.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, smooth as it gets, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a couple different companies now producing official work between, you know, MechWarrior Online and then, you know, the HBS BattleTech and then the Catalyst Games BattleTech. You know, I know I've seen your work through Catalyst. Have you had a chance to contribute, you know, to either of those other producers as well? And is that even something that you'd be interested in?
Interested, sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the video game studios are, how can I say that? There are not much freelancers working for them.
Got it.
You know, it's all in studio, basically.
Right.
In the very beginning, I sent stuff out to VGI. Yeah, I did that. But never heard anything from them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
And it's nice.
It's a bit harder.
You know, and when you did Catalyst reach out to you, or did you just submit stuff to them? Because I know they have like a little submission link on their website for people to send it in. And so,
I sent something there too. And without an immediate response, and I guess months later, they contacted me via email. That was unexpected.
Yeah.
totally. I was blown away.
Do you remember what piece it was that you sent in?
Oh, I think I just sent my DeviantArt link.
Okay. Got it.
So they could basically see my whole portfolio.
Right.
Yeah, nothing in particular. They were just, you know, great stuff you have there. Do you want to work officially? Yes, I do. Yeah.
And was there any particular project or art piece that you felt like really kind of, you know, magnified the attention that brought to you? You know, and I say just because I know that, you know, for me, your Blast from the Past, that redo of the classic Battletech cover with the Warhammer, you know, I got my poster back there, you know, was kind of what kind of caught my attention for you. Was there any piece like that just kind of you felt really, you know, in the community, you know, really drew a lot more exposure and attention to you?
Definitely that one. All my remakes of old stuff that draw a lot of attention. Besides that, sometimes it's weird, you know, you do like four or five artworks. One of them is your favorite, but all the other ones get the attention.
Yeah, definitely.
It's weird. That's an art thing. I can't get behind it. You know, it's hard to read the audience.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, what are those favorites? What are your favorites of yours that you're particularly proud of?
Ooh, there is this one. I guess it's called Staging Area. It's a lot of tanks and some mechs in the background. Mm-hmm. One guy working on the tank. That was a lot of work. Prepping all the
I'll pull it up here on our screen and we can share, and then you can kind of talk through it a little bit with the all right, staging ground, let's find it.
Staging area
There it is.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, that one was the first time I was really, you know, pleased with my work.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere. Yeah.
I've talked to that a lot, and that's the part of the things that, you know, what draws me to kind of your work over some of the other ones is that I had talked in my other podcast of just there is a lot, the quality of the work is really great these days in terms of the mechs, but there's this tendency to kind of drift to just a showing just this really cool mech shooting, you know, and not a lot of the atmosphere of what's happening and what's going on, you know, around, you know, in that situation. And I pulled, you know, in my project of, you know, trying to revive some of the Battletech CCG with my customs, and, you know, I'm hoping to kind of make those public so people can download and print and enjoy them later. But, you know, I just, you know, I see so much art, just hundreds and hundreds of different pieces of art while I'm trying to find stuff for the cards. And, you know, and it's really cool when I can find one that just is, you know, the mech isn't necessarily the focus of the piece. It's, you know, in the piece, you know, and so, you know, and you can see this here, you know, enjoy, you know, the mech is kind of there in the background. You can tell it's the Battletech universe, but there's more going on. And I like, you know, a lot of the pieces I've pulled from the Dugrum for some of the classic models, you know, the Shadowhawk, the Griffin, you know, what I love about those pieces, you know, is that they, you know, the mech is kind of the background. It's kind of the perspective is different. And I definitely kind of cling and gravitate towards, you know, artists like yourself that kind of take that different perspective, that it's not just here's a mech, it's firing this and this weapon and enjoy it. So it's good to see.
I mean, the universe is way too interesting to just focus on the mechs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories to tell in artwork. And I focus on that in the beginning. Unfortunately, there's so far I wasn't asked to do anything in that area officially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there we have, you know, mech firing, blah blah blah. That's way more prevalent.
Right.
Official stuff.
Well, I know they've hinted at the fact that combined arms is going to be coming in the future. So hopefully that'll kind of bring some opportunity than to kind of bring in those where the mechs are more background item. So Staging Ground is a favorite. You know, what are some other favorites that kind of stand out? You know,
the Atlas. It's called Atlas. It's okay. Just the Atlas face, basically. It's a portrait of a mech. That one really got a lot of feedback from the community.
Definitely. Is this the one here, the MechWarrior Online one? Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Oh, it's self-explaining, I guess.
No.
A really underrated one is Drop Command.
Drop Command. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I used this on one of the support cards for my BattleTech CCG customs.
That was a lot of work.
So how long does it take to kind of compose a piece like this? You know, how many hours, how many days is it?
Oh, that was weeks,
really?
two or three weeks, you know, on and off. I can just put so many hours a day into
it.
But yeah, that's definitely one of the longer ones. Yeah.
I mean, this is great. And that's just what I'm talking about. You know, it's like the, you know, if you look close enough, it's BattleTech, but you know, there's different aspects of the universe. I love seeing this.
Exactly.
You know, there's one I'd really love. I can put out the idea of, I would love to see an artist tackle an elemental gearing up, you know, basically getting in suits of exactly, you know, how they do it. You know, and I envision almost something like at the end of, I think it was like at the end of Halo 4, where they have Master Chief kind of stepping on the platform and putting the armor on, or maybe like a Tony Stark Iron Man, you know. It's like how an artist interprets just exactly how elemental gets their battle.
That's interesting.
that's one to put out there. Very cool.
There is official art depicting an elemental getting into the suit.
Is there?
There's one artwork. It's, you know, pretty 80s. But I think there's one.
Yeah. And maybe even I can get somebody like Bruins to animate something, you know, once our economy backs up, you know, gets back up, and I have enough, you know, disposable income to commission something like that. That'd be awesome. You know, get him and just do like a, you know, 60-second scene of elemental getting their armor on. That would be awesome. Very cool. So there's one I've talked about, you know, a kind of almost like a pet peeve that I want to kind of call you out on one of your pieces. I want to kind of, you know, get your perspective on it, because you're a culprit, is the Timberwolf. And so there's a tendency, of course, let's see. So I love this piece, but there's a tendency with artists to produce Timberwolves that don't exist in universe. And so, you know, I want to pull it. So getting an artist perspective of kind of your motivation for doing that. And so, you know, particularly we talked about, you know, the LRM-15s, and I think it was Bishop Steiner that I was chatting about, you know, using the 15s instead of the 20s, because the 20s do look obnoxiously bulky at times, but yeah, it's funny on the Timberwolf that there's, I think there's only one variant that actually has LRM-15s that I can think of, and but at least probably 60% of the art goes into the 15s instead of the 20s, and then, you know, weapons load out. So, you know, for you, is that something that you kind of rolled with, or was that a conscious decision in terms of just the rule of cool, make it look good and forget about the other five?
Basically, yes. I did it because in this particular artwork, the model was based on old artwork.
Okay.
And it was a nice model. And I, you know, I don't want to make any changes to the model, and I just kept it like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I fix such things. For the Legends Max, I did some variants. And initially, there wasn't planned to show a variant.
Yeah.
It depends on the situation, basically.
I actually have that pulled up too. Let me switch over. You know what? Let's talk about one of the mechs in the legends because I actually was going through a lot of that last night to pull out some art for some custom cards.
It's awesome, but very fresh in my mind.
Yeah, definitely. So give me a mech and let's chat about it from Legends. I'll find it real quick. I know, did you do Legend Killer? That was one that had a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
A lot of flair to it. And I think it's the first time we'd ever seen... Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell me about this one. This is a cool interpretation.
Yeah. Most of it is basically a copy of the MacBerry Online design.
Okay.
I redid the little ghost decoy. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a cool project. Any other favorite ones that you did on this project?
The Daishi Prometheus.
Gotcha.
That was interesting because that was initially. It was the stock Daishi, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I made it the correct variant.
Yep, there we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, I added the missing weapons and
yeah. Right. And so, you know, is that something you did? So are you able to do some edits for 3D work, or do you have to usually, you know, just ask someone else to kind of make those modifications for you?
I could build the whole Mac if needed.
Okay.
And I did in the past. Sometimes, you know, especially the Dark Age Macs, they are not much 3D reference.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get models from Ironwind.
Okay.
But those are not ideal for illustrations because 3D details.
Yeah.
It's basically those are made for print and production, so it's a bit harder to work with them.
And now, kind of going back a little bit, you know, talking about kind of the history of art and BattleTech, and you know, you mentioned kind of going back in the old source books, and there's a lot of art that kind of struggles there. But you know, it's also you also imagine, you know, Fossa reaching out to an artist and saying, you know, we need 50 sketches and you've got 2 days to do it, you know, a lot of those are the way, but there is a lot of amazing art too. And I'm curious in terms of kind of looking back is, you know, are there any favorites, any that particularly influence kind of your approach to it? You know, I mean, there's so many between, you know, Holloway and Lamenstein and Vallejo, you know, in terms of a lot of great stuff out there. And I'm curious kind of what's, you know, your own perspective and looking back at the kind of those standout classic artists.
They are all great.
Yeah.
If you look at how those stuff was made without our tech, basically.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's painted physically. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Especially. You know, under pressure and with a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
And do you feel like there's something kind of lost in the translation, you know, between, you know, kind of doing it, you know, on canvas versus doing it, you know, on the computer, and kind of what, you know, where do the strengths outweigh kind of that sacrifice? You know, have you found that? Or is there any kind of, you know, I guess a nostalgia or envy that you have for the people that are working in that other medium that you just haven't found that you can replicate, you know, through the digital?
I recently tried to get to be a bit more painterly in my artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I to a degree, I try to emulate what those guys did back then. It just looks better. I rely so much on 3D that sometimes it just it shows. it's overly crisp. And then I try to be a bit more a painter, basically.
Right.
And you can see that in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 fan art artworks I released. There you can see the transition to more paint, basically.
Gotcha.
Sometimes deadlines are very, very hard. So if you have to build 2 mechs in 3D and do the artwork in 2 weeks or something like that. hard to be, you know, to be a painter and
right.
go really into the details and make it, you know, look great. There is one of the novel covers, Shell Games. There you can see, I basically, if I had a week more, I could make it better. But you can see it's very 3D. You know, it's you can see it's very crisp. It's very 3D. And I had to work with this blur effect. I'm personally not a fan of it, but I was asked to add something like that to give it a bit more dynamic, basically.
Yeah.
I struggle a bit with dynamic poses or convey speed and you know motion.
And I did see you know that you had explored just painting in general. I saw some painted miniatures up there that looked really great. You know.
I'm an avid modeler.
Yeah.
And yeah, paint stuff.
Yeah, the Orion looks
for
wonderful.
A long time. Yeah, exactly.
So the skill's there. It's just got to be, you know, refined and transferred, right, to different mediums.
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that looks awesome.
And I was always, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. So I play in too many areas, basically. I never had the luxury to concentrate on one skill and just hone it to perfection.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
and you had alluded to Project Zumpcup, and I know you can't talk about too much, but you know, is there something in particular that you're excited about, kind of the work that's coming up the pipeline, and kind of the projects that you're doing?
At the moment, I'm building a city. I can tell that because Brand, mentioned that somewhere. I don't know.
Okay.
Some podcast.
Yeah.
That's incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
The whole process of getting the buildings into the maps. You know, I came up with a pipeline to do that, and
So is that you're building a cityscape that the mechs are in? Like, what, you know, what specifically are we?
Well, I built individual buildings.
Okay.
Render them from above.
Okay.
And I have a light setup so we can get basically 6 different light directions. So the shadows are always correct.
Yep.
And the map artist can just pick whatever they need and put it into the maps. And there is, you know, a lot of, rendering and then put it into Photoshop and make one PSD basically where all the stuff is in there on different layers. That's crazy. But it was easier for past maps because there wasn't that many buildings. So I could basically, I could render everything on one big rendering sheet, basically. With the city, we have like, there's supposed to be like 40 or 50 buildings. That will be interesting. But it's fun. It's going back to showing stuff from the universe. It's not max. I think it's time to give a look to buildings and stuff in the background.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't have that. Make it generic sci-fi, basically.
And the universe of Battletech is so vast with so many different planets and cultures, and who knows how many architectural influences are there. And so it really is an unlimited canvas that you can draw on to kind of explore and do what you want with. And so that's got to be exciting kind of as an artist to be able to approach that. Kind of stepping outside of the official work, you know, is there, you know, in terms of ideas and some fan art or just in personal projects, you know, certainly kind of, you know, go into the cityscape allows you to kind of get away from just the mech shooting aspect, but you know, what kind of ideas do you have for pieces that you want to kind of compose coming up that, the community will see in time?
I always wanted to do a very detailed mech lab pick. Something, you know, a mech half disassembled or something like that.
Okay.
A lot of techs swarming around and doing work on that.
Yeah, I love that old that black and white Archer, you know, when the Archer is getting fixed. Do you remember, you know, which one I'm talking about? I've often been like, man, I want a new version of that. That would be that would be awesome. I would be very happy with that.
I touched on that with it's similar, but you know, put it in a real mech hangar. And something like that.
Yeah.
Eventually I will do that.
All right, cool. Well, people listening, you know, definitely connect with Florian on Patreon, and you can kind of get the updates. You know, that's one of the great fun things I like about, you know, being Patreon, is you kind of get that step-by-step update of kind of the art composition, which I've enjoyed. You know, especially even kind of going back and kind of seeing things like the Blast from the Past and kind of how the different stages kind of evolved, you know, with a piece like that.
The progression stuff is always interesting.
Yeah, and I'll kind of throw out an invite, and I've talked to people about to artists I get on. If you're ever up for kind of doing a screen record and doing the work of just recording it in the background while you're composing a piece, and you want to send me those files, I'd love to kind of get, you know, just like kind of a time lapse, you know, of a composition up. I know I did it for one of Bruin's work when he was doing a sketch for me. And if I would love to do that for other artists, if you're down for doing all the screen records, you know, I'll kind of edit it together. I think that'd be a fun thing for people to see. They'll enjoy it.
Actually, I have a time lapse of one of my recent projects. It was Cold Breeze. I can send you the link. It's not listed on YouTube because I just did it for my patrons. Basically.
Right. Okay.
You can take a look on that. And,
yeah. If you want, I'll throw the link in the description or something that people want to check it out, or they, even better, they can connect with you on Patreon and give you a buck or two a month, and then they can see it, you know, the way it was intended. Yeah. That's good. Awesome. Well, there's, you know, I love talking cover art, and we kind of touched on it briefly in the beginning, you know, with the different cover art on a lot of the German novels there. But, you know, you mentioned you didn't read a ton, but is there some stuff that you've read that, you know, you just kind of would love to tackle in terms of doing a cover art, or that you've seen and you're like, oh, you know, had a different vision for, you know, if you had approached it, you know, what you would have done, and kind of, you know, maybe describe a little bit of what the alternate approach would be, assuming that you had the idea.
Not really.
No.
I mean, sometimes I the Legends cover, for instance, I would have chosen something different. But that's doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
Well.
And yeah, I know the Legends, you know, it's a cool cover, it's a cool piece, but you know, to see it a piece recycled that prominently, you know, it's like, I, you know, if they're recycling pieces, I understand that, but not necessarily on the cover. Like, I feel like if you're recycling things on the cover, that's not
that's problematic.
Yeah. You know, not to say like they're doing a lot of, I know like the new strategic operations and a lot of tactical operations, those are, you know, kind of more homages from the past, but it's hard to say you're doing an homage on Legends of a box set that you produced a year and a half or 2 years ago. But definitely a unique one would be good in that sense,
and maybe a bit on topic. So show some legendary stuff. But in the end, I guess it's it was time restrictions and the variant cover idea, you know. Because it is different from the Game of Armored Combat box.
And I think the Legend was the original one. And I think, you know, because that was being produced at the same time, Harmony Gold was trying to etch out a couple more dollars that they had to switch it last minute just to be safe. Yeah.
Yeah, that legal stuff.
Yeah. I dropped a little fun parody I did on the website. People seem to enjoy it, whereas like I overlaid it on the scene from the Astartes, and you know, just kind of give a little visual representation of what happened in the courtroom. It was fun distraction to make while I was doing all the cartoons and getting those out for people. But yeah,
awesome. Yeah, Astartes. That's we have a team in Germany basically. We're working on a similar thing for BattleTech.
Yeah. Is that called? The Hired Steel?
Hired Guns. Hired Steel, yes. I'm looking forward to see what they come up with.
Definitely. Yeah, that first episode was fun, and one of the people on the project had reached out to me, you know, about connecting. I'm thinking once we get another episode or two, I'd love to kind of connect with them, and we can do a little behind the scenes like I did with Bruins. That would be super fun to connect with those guys. But you know, anything in the BattleTech universe that is, you know, people are able to produce stuff like that. And I know I've been kind of trying to ask questions in the background and figure out exactly where the line is with TOPS in terms of what fans can do, what they can't do, you know, whether how they could raise funds for it. You know, where's the difference between having a Patreon or maybe running a GoFundMe for it, you know, and kind of what the restrictions are there. But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of potential, you know, for the community to kind of fund its own work, you know, if it was allowed. And, you know, you see things like Astartes, which clearly fans are producing amazing work out there for different IPs, and you know, if you know, there's, I feel like there's people willing to do that in BattleTech. It's just nobody knows what they're allowed to do or who owns the rights, because you know, the rights for BattleTech are all over the place, you know. But it seems to fall with TOPS. TOPS seems to be kind of the hurdle to get over, you know,
for like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's it's always a gray area, basically.
Yeah.
But if you're an artist out there and you want to do something and you need, you know, a couple of dollars to realize that, don't be afraid to do the Patreon thing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody will rip your head off for that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know Bruins was nervous about his Patreon for that reason. And I try to encourage him to kind of get that set up. And I know it's like, he doesn't promote it, so it doesn't have a ton of people, but you know, it's out there, and you know, it's tough. You know, I'm not one to like to ask people, you know, for things. And so I feel kind of like, oh, support me on Patreon. But I also come from a background as a nonprofit executive, and like a big part of that job is asking people for for support. Yeah, so even though I don't like doing it, you know, it's necessary. That at least conditioned me to be like, you know, people don't mind being asked as much as you might think they mind being asked. And a lot of people are happy to give. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the people that have supported me on Patreon so far. You know, it's at a point now where it's enough that it covers my expenses at least, you know? So obviously if it gets, you know, we all desire to be at that Astartes level where Nikki brings in 20 grand a month. You know? So basically, you know, more than a full-time job with a team, you know, we can all have pipe dreams for that. But even if it's, you know, I always think, well, just, you know, give me enough that I can justify taking, you know, two less days of work a month and just do this. That'd be awesome. Exactly. But, and the commission's out there, but
it's an incentive. It's not, you know, you're not getting paid in full.
And it is kind of an appreciation and a thank you. So even if someone's, if I get a patron for, I think $3 is the lowest tier that I have, you know, it's like, you know, one, if 100 people are given $3, that's one thing. But even just the idea that somebody cares enough that they'll kind of click on those buttons to kind of make that gift. It's, you know, we're all working here in our homes, sitting in front of our computer alone, you know? And so it's like, you can't undervalue, you know, that reinforcement, you know, just that, you know, we all need a little pat on the back every once in a while.
Yeah.
the patrons do that for me. I'm sure they kind of do that for you as well, but it's nice out there, but
Oh, it's pretty important for me. It's, you know, it's not much, but it's important.
Yeah. Half the battle is just rallying people to know it's out there and they can give. But no, it's been good. It was a good idea, but for whoever started that Patreon. Excellent.
And I'm very bad at self-promotion. It's horrible. And I learned that stuff. You know, I'm basically a communication designer. This is for advertising and stuff. You know, I have a background in that, but... I can't do it for myself.
It is tough. It is weird. You know, I was talking to somebody and, you know, even doing stuff on social media, it seems, you know, is uncomfortably self-promoty at times, but I got to tell myself that I don't think people look at it that way. I think people just appreciate it for sharing. Whereas I'm like, you know, and even when I like put out stuff and I'll share work from yourself or other artists in the community, you know, I'm like, you know, cause I want to try to get as much exposure to the people that are creating as possible. And one of my pet peeves is when, you know, people share art and they don't share the credit for who it is. And so I try to really go out of my way to kind of, you know, bring the attention and let people know any old pieces that you have that you would like to kind of shout out, or maybe kind of walk us through some of the process or give us some insights in there.
See. All the stuff I did for Mega Mac.
Oh, I saw some of those. And they were similar to the dropship one that you shared.
This one.
Yeah.
Especially. Jesus.
Yeah, that was another one I threw on one of my custom cards. So
stay small, but that one was interesting because they wanted. Classic Max and there are no Max in this picture, but there's another one.
And for those that aren't aware, what is Mech HQ? Like, where is this? What is the project?
Mega Mech. Mech HQ is basically it's just how do you call it? It's a name for. Mega Mac Lab. It's all in one, basically. That's a 1-to-1 tabletop simulation, basically.
Right. Got it.
In programmed in Java. It's crazy. It's the most impressive Java app I've ever seen.
I keep hearing people talk about it. I haven't pulled up Mega Mac. I remember trying it, like in 2001 or something, which I don't even know if I'm remembering it wrong and I'm thinking of something else, but I remember doing something that was called Mega Mech, and but I'm sure after 20 years it's evolved a bit, but yeah.
Oh, they are continually developing.
Yeah.
Take another look. It's great.
Definitely. I'll do that. I'll do that this weekend.
And you can play by yourself against bots.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. That would be helpful.
And that works better than, 10 years ago. So.
Right. Yeah, that might be good for me too. I always say that, the video games are a dangerous rabbit hole for me. I try to stay away because I have a very narrow focus when I dive into something, and video games just kind of pull me out of life. And so I've tried to stay away, but I feel like Mega Mech might be something where I could easily be like, oh, I'll play some tabletop, I'll walk away. It's not like a task oriented where there's a campaign that I have to do or.
Yes, yes. So and there is no grind, there is no competition. Yeah. You can just set up the Lands versus Lands or something like that.
Nice.
Small games.
Yeah, I'll have to pull that up. Yeah, I've gotten a couple of tabletop games in over the pandemic time, but only like two or three, with a friend. But excellent. Well, Florian, I appreciate it. This has been a fun talk. I always love connecting with the artists because, kind of it's one of my favorite ways to connect with the universe other than the novels. It's just kind of, looking at the art and appreciating the art and, the people that are taking the time to contribute both, officially and even more so unofficially, out of the passion. It's, I really appreciate it. And, again, for the community, give you a little urge, find Florian on Patreon. It's patreon.com/spooky777. Is the tag that you can find Florian. And I know you have DeviantArt, and the DeviantArt is under Spooky777. Where are the other places that people can connect with you to kind of follow your art and kind of see what's going on?
Those two are the main thing, basically. Yeah.
And I know you have an Instagram, but you don't use it. I know you just have a
I'm basically everywhere. I really use Patreon and
DeviantArt. Awesome. The DeviantArt has a ton of great stuff. The Patreon even more. I loved when I was able to hop on Patreon and you have that kind of progression work. So it's cool to get that little behind the scenes look at it. So, connect, support Florian there. And, definitely looking forward to kind of more of the official stuff, as well as the unofficial stuff coming up. It's definitely kind of the renaissance of Battletech, as people like to say. And so, hopefully there's a ton of work, keep you well fed and, well housed and, by doing the things that you love. But yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, Florian.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.